Brené Brown says perfectionism is a 20-ton shield that we lug around thinking it will protect us, when in fact it's the very thing that's preventing us from taking flight. Today on The Purpose Patch, Sal and I look at the fear that drives perfectionism in our lives and some practical examples of how we can acknowledge our fear without letting it take over. As always, we'd love to hear from you. Send us your thoughts and ideas for future shows to thepurposepatch@gmail.com. That's thepurposepatch@gmail.com. Welcome to The Purpose Patch, where our intention is to help you grow a life you love.
Join us on our adventures as we discover the fun and joy in taking action.
Hosted by
Sal Mack
and Luz Vargo, two ex-corporate slaves who've decided life is worth a bigger roll of the dice.
Each episode will put the theories to the test with practical actions you can follow too.
What could possibly go wrong?
Hello.
Hello, Sal. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
So, it's been a big week of progressing the podcast.
We have smashed it out this week because people listening probably don't realise we record a few episodes ahead.
Yes. I mean, purely because we're currently living in different cities.
I know. It's most inconvenient. I'm trying to campaign to get you to move back to Melbourne, but it's currently not having a lot of luck.
Would be a lot easier. We'll get there. So I think also we've discovered this week quite a lot of technical points.
Oh, who knew doing a podcast was so bloody hard?
iTunes seemed to require a lot of things to get this up.
I mean, I was Googling last night Sal RSS feeds. I'm learning lots of new technical lingo.
I was hoping
you'd
know about that.
Nah.
Right.
Zero.
We might need
zero
more
knowledge.
Budget on this than we thought.
But, you know, it is very easy just to press record, but the reality of what we need to do if we want to get it live is a lot more than I anticipated. And then also I think it dawned on us both this week that if this goes live and people listen, far out.
Feeling a bit exposed.
Yeah.
So I guess that leads us to this topic of perfectionism. Mm. And it's almost, I feel like we wouldn't have progressed this far if we had known all that was involved in launching this. And if, you know, we've been discussing social media, what do we do around that, photos, branding, RSS feeds, this is where the point around taking action becomes crucial.
Well, I put out it would have been 18 months ago, one of my goals was to do a podcast. I've been wanting to
did
do a
you?
Podcast.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
I thought I told you this.
No.
Oh, so, and I did for this someone's blog, they did like an interview on career change and I was doing, you know, telling them what I'd done with my music theatre course. And they said, what's next? And I said, oh, I want to start this podcast. And I had gone to stores. I'd looked into proper recording equipment, which, you know, all costs money. I'd kind of been thinking of topics, but I think in my head I'd as opposed to in my foot.
I don't know if the listeners have noticed, but Lou likes to specify that she thinks in her head as opposed to her stomach.
I could think in my heart or my soul.
I like how you clarify it.
Men think from their penis.
Please continue. Yeah, they definitely do.
Yeah, well, I had not started this podcast, and then it was only when we were sort of talking about it over the summer. And I don't know, again, how it even came up. But if I look at now how we've gone about doing it and having a partner in crime and being able to share the load, and, I mean, we've just simplified this. We just literally whip out an iPhone, press record.
Yep.
You don't often need all the other stuff. And I think it's been a good lesson for me because sometimes we think we need different tools, we need to invest a lot more time, we need to
Oh, we put up blockers, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So perfectionism, I mean, I was reminded – I've been thinking about it a lot, that this has actually been a lot easier than what I was thinking it would be in my head, even though there are still blocks. It's not simple, but...
Well, it's... I think what we're also experiencing as well, which I think harder than you, is this idea of this feels pretty vulnerable about to launch this. So we've had some episodes that we've recorded and we often do one where we're just riffing and we're figuring out what we're actually going to talk about. Then we might do another one that's a bit more coherent, but still very free-flowing, and because it has to be authentic. But often after we've cut and finish that episode, I'll suddenly think, oh my God, what if that person takes it in the wrong way, what I've said, or it feels very raw for me.
Yeah, and you listen. And I listen like with my hands, head in my hands.
I'm putting a scarf over my head as we speak. And then it just made me realise as well, I think perfectionism, it's not just us that feels this, it is in our culture.
Yeah.
It's from a young age we're told you need to kind of learn the answers and know everything. You're not, trial and error is not really part of our culture.
And we're not led at school by curiosity.
No, we're not at all. We're not. We're led by just learn the equations, which I never actually managed to learn, but I faked it well enough. And then it's also in our culture, I think, through marketing and advertising, which is you'll be perfect when you have this lipstick.
It's aspirational advertising, yeah. That's all about reinforcing stereotypes and not catering to wider demographics either, or
yeah.
If you're a bit different. It's really, it does, it reinforces things and makes it really difficult to step out of the box and be unique and individual sometimes.
Well, yeah, it keeps you in your box. And it's also something that I think would be interesting to talk about is this discomfort. So the discomfort we're feeling at the moment, when is that something? When is that a feeling that means you shouldn't proceed? And when is it just fear?
So what's changed recently? Why do you feel, the podcast being one, but let's talk about, I mean, you've been writing a blog for a little while.
Yeah, which I didn't actually want anyone to read.
That, that Sal was just writing for, you know, which I believe that writing can be very cathartic.
Yeah,
and
but then
really
do
important.
It in a diary if you don't want anyone to read it.
But Sal had actually put together a blog. She'd posted photos. You'd written about me. You'd put some thought into defining and talking about why you were doing this.
Yeah.
You'd set out with the intention for people to read it, and yet you weren't showing up and giving it to the world.
I wasn't publicising it. No. And equally, I actually get really weird when people tell me they've read it.
Yeah, so.
So, I, you know, the other night I was at dinner at my cousin's, and my mum has, of course, given the link to everyone. And I almost feel like people that don't know me as well wouldn't know this side of my thinking as well. So I feel a bit vulnerable. I feel a bit exposed.
It's a new side they haven't seen
yeah,
before.
Yeah, I feel like they wouldn't, they might judge it. It's, you know, it's hard.
But it's like anything, like we all now these days have an online profile. For most people, their first contact with someone, if you're thinking of hiring someone in a business, often you'll go on and Google stalk them first to see what you can find out. You'll look at, you know, you're going on a date with someone. Absolutely, you'll make prejudgments. Yeah. So I kind of think it's a wonderful thing that you've got what you think about and what you believe out there in a really thoughtful, concise, articulate way.
But it's also I have quite strong views, probably stronger than I've expressed to people in person.
Yeah, they probably think you're like a flaky pushover.
Yeah.
Little do they know. The back.
But Luke, got me thinking about this quote, because when I was deciding to make these kind of life changes last year, a friend sent me a podcast with Elizabeth Gilbert and Marie Forleo. And
two of my favorites.
Yeah, they're pretty they can be pretty good. And she was talking about the creativity process and her book Big Magic, which I loved that book actually. I found it really practical.
It's just a really great for creatives particularly.
Yeah.
Or anyone can get out things out of it. Just that power of showing up, isn't it?
Oh, it's all about action.
Yeah.
It's all about, and this quote that I just loved, because at the time I was feeling in that churny feeling in your stomach, and I was thinking, well, if I feel this discomfort or weirdness, then that means it's the wrong decision.
Yeah.
And then she said this quote, which was that it is completely ridiculous to say that you can conquer fear. So she accepts that fear is part of any creative process, and anything worth doing, you will have fear. But she acknowledges the fear at the beginning of any project and says, hello, fear. You're allowed to have a seat and you're allowed to have a voice, but you are not allowed to have a vote. You're not allowed to touch the roadmaps or suggest detours. You're not allowed to fiddle with the temperature. Dude, you're not even allowed to touch the radio. But above all else, you are absolutely forbidden to drive.
Have you seen, she's actually, it's a fantastic quote. She's actually made like a little video of it.
Has she?
On YouTube. I'll put it in the show notes for yourself.
Perfect.
Look, I think she's incredibly profound on this issue. And in recent years, I think she's doing a lot more speaking about it. Because I sort of knew who she was because of the Eat, Pray, Love phenomenon. But I think in recent years, she's got a lot of traction talking about creativity and blocks. The one from that book that I really love is the one on perfectionism, which is just... it's fear in high heels, which I thought was a really fun way of describing it, because I'd never often thought of it like that, because we do hide sometimes in the process of, oh, it needs to get better, or I've just got to do this. Mm. And if you strip it back and actually look at what you're saying to yourself, it's often just a way that you're hiding.
To avoid action. Because perfectionism is a virtue in our society as well. I think people see it as a virtue.
And look, it is a balance between sometimes knowing where the effort is worth it and where it's not. Sal, my favourite quote at the moment, Zoe Foster Blake.
Yeah.
Is the juice worth the squeeze?
Yeah, you did bring that up the other day, didn't you?
And I like it, because often I will be putting a ton of energy into something, and you've sometimes got to take a step back and go, is this really worth it? Am I killing myself for... good?
Yeah.
Or am I just overworking something because I'm being driven and motivated by some fear?
Well, and you're trying to procrastinate to actually maybe put it out there.
Yeah.
And never. So, you know, it's like when we were discussing, I was trying to make Lou re-record something the other day and you pulled out your juice quote. And, I think the thing is, we want to have a structured and coherent conversation, but it also has to be free-flowing and real.
Mm.
And so the danger is that you can really cross that line. When you're listening to yourself, you can end up stripping everything out, anything that you feel uncomfortable about. Mm. So we've got loads in these conversations that we feel uncomfortable about.
And that's, I think, what came up so much for us this week, you know, hearing back some of these conversations that we've recorded just quickly and then having to... you know, give them to an editor and say, yep, cut here. And you do have to re-listen to them. And you suddenly, it's not just you and I as pals having a conversation around an issue. There's a responsibility, and you're conscious of the fact that if it does go out and people listen to it, we're talking about our lives, you know, our interactions with people. I would hope that no one feels disrespected by things that we say or feels that...
Well, that's not our intention, is it?
Absolutely not.
But at the same time, if it's to be authentic, we have to share certain aspects, and that involves sharing. We haven't named people in certain topics or conversations, but it does involve sharing insights into our lives.
And often it's sharing, for me more than anything, and all the situation, all the examples I think I've wanted to share and that I've heard you share, the people that come off the worst out of it is probably us, because I think it's through sharing what I think we're struggling with. I mean, if we weren't struggling with these issues ourselves, what would be the point in doing a podcast about them? I mean, there is no point. And I think that I feel it helps me sort through some things in my head, and I hope it's doing the same for you, having that conversation. But the point is that it's not... we're not perfect.
No. And it's not. My favourite podcast, actually, The High Low, give a shout out to them.
Mm.
We're talking about this week. So they've just hit 2 million listeners, which is incredible. And they do such a great job of wrapping up kind of the weekly news. They cover everything from the sublime to the ridiculous and the high to the low. And, you know, they've started now to get quite vitriolic responses from people if they don't hit exactly the points that people want them to hit. And you just think it was quite, you know, sad to listen to, because they had to open the latest episode by saying, okay, guys, we're not saying we're experts on all these topics. We're just trying to canvas a really open, interesting discussion. So before you kind of get out your weapons and start to attack, it is also very easy to attack people that are putting their... you know, stuff out there.
Well, look at
and
what's
brave enough to
look
do
at what's
it.
Happening, and they are getting paid. But look what's happening with Lisa. No. But with the point I was about to make was Lee Sales this week, all the online trolling that she's received from people. So she's there interviewing. There was a guy that wrote this horrific tweet about her, you know, implying, you know, sexual favours for Liberal politicians when they're on the show. And it wasn't criticism of the work that she was doing as a journalist. It was criticism of her, the person, and really disgusting, misogynistic, sexist trolling. And I think it's really tough because you don't ask for that. No one...
Well, I think this point around perfectionism is everyone's got fear. I think it's easy to look at people that have been quite successful and go, well, they are just open to attack and they've put themselves out there, and so I can do whatever I say, whatever I want, do whatever I want to them. But if you're not out there actually sharing your own views or trying to contribute something to society in a bigger way, then it's almost like,
get back.
What authority do you have to... It's very easy to sit back and you know, that hopefully we don't get that in this, but we'll see. Because it is, you know, I think it's just making that point. We're all humans. We're all fallible. Our intention in doing this is pure. Yeah. So we have to almost, is that part of our challenge, is to connect it back to our intention, to think about it. I think that for me will help me depersonalize it.
Yeah, well, why don't you have a go at that this week and see how you go?
Like anchoring it back maybe to a bit of a higher purpose, to use my God speak.
So often, and I feel like I'm a bit of a cracked record already on this, but it's also talking about it, I'm cracked, but the awareness around when it's happening. Because if you're not identifying the patterns and where that's showing up for you in your life, then you can't be effective. This, so for me, again, it's always, for me, with every challenge we ever do, an awareness thing first for me.
Yeah, this is almost coming up in every episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it has to, because it's like until you acknowledge the problem, you don't even know what to do.
Yeah.
Where to start. Well, I think maybe we can help each other with this one more as well.
Yeah, and look... I think, you know, especially...
Push each other.
Well, particularly the stuff we're doing with the podcast. So we do have some marketing stuff and some decisions that need to be made.
Yeah.
And listen to me, marketing stuff. Yeah. This is taking off.
Well, you
got
did
some
have
strategy,
a,
media plan to put together.
We should say that you did put a schedule together that we somewhat loosely followed.
Yeah,
at the
I attempt to be professional.
Except she kind of did Saturday, and then Sunday and Monday were left blank.
Because I thought we were going to be so efficient on the Saturday.
Yeah, anyway.
But look, yeah, for me, I think let's go away this week. And I think you're right. We can call each other on it when we see it. And that's useful too, because I think whenever you're going through something in your life or when you want to maybe tackle or try improving an area of your life, if you let the people close to you know that that's what you're doing, they can also remind you in a gentle, kind way that, hey, you know, you're doing this again. And
yeah, you have to give people permission for that, I reckon.
Yeah.
Because I think we're all a bit conditioned to be anti-conflict and anti...
Yeah, they don't want to point it out because they might offend you, whereas if you invite them to say, hey, have you noticed...
I invite you
too, Sal.
To hold me accountable.
All right, well, let's see how we go.
Yeah.
It's a tricky topic. It is. And I don't think it gets easier as
it
you
makes
go through
me
life.
Squirm. I've currently got my scarf over my head.
You do, actually.
Anyway, it's going to be all right.
All right. See you soon.
Back here.
Bye. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Hello, Sal.
Hello, Lou.
Part two on perfection, everybody. So we've had an interesting few weeks.
Yep, always is.
Testing the theory.
I love these life experiments. They're really confronting.
They are good because forces you to sort of take yourself out of the normal groove and the default and look at what you're doing.
But so helpful to have someone else doing it with you.
Holding you to account. Yeah.
Calling you on your bullshit.
Well, I notice just the little things, Sal, that... Maybe I'm overthinking it, but every morning I get ready to go to work.
You don't overthink anything.
Surely not.
That's not true.
Not cerebral at all.
No. Yeah. You get ready for
work. I get ready for work. I put makeup on every morning. And sometimes for what? I go to, particularly at the minute I'm going to a production office, if I don't have meetings, do I need it? I think for women it's a big problem. How long do women take in the morning getting ready? And is it necessary? I had a friend that told me once a few years ago that when she wanted to fake a sick day the next day, she just wouldn't wear makeup to work.
Oh, yeah, that's the oldest trick in the book.
Well, because, yeah, and people would say, oh, you look really unwell.
But how awful is that? Is that our normal faces are so offensive?
That you can't that possibly.
That we look sick. Yeah.
And it just goes to show that just the pervasive nature of this on an everyday unconscious level, that what are we, you know, I faff about in the morning, oh, take those earrings off, try another pair of earrings.
The energy you're expending, we're all expending.
Absolutely. Before I even leave the house and actually face my day to do important stuff, it's just wasting time.
It's decision fatigue as well. Yeah.
And all of it has no bearing on how well I'll do my job, really.
No, but I would say there, unfortunately, things like makeup are linked with professionalism.
Yeah, yeah.
So whilst we wish it wasn't the case, it is. I don't think we can crack that one in one, but it's maybe, like you said, giving less energy to it. So going, I'm just going to wear, I've decided to start practicing wearing quite similar things, similar outfits.
We'll sell a couple of days. I just didn't do half my makeup, so I just went with a much lighter base.
One eye line.
But I did. I actually consciously, a couple of days, just went, I'm just going to take this down a notch.
Paired it back. Awesome.
Also to say that, you know, with clothes, well, just chuck that on, it's fine. And you've actually got to say to yourself, this is fine, get out the door.
Yeah.
This is just, fine, get out the door.
Well, because I tell you what, the men aren't worried about these
things. No, of course they're not.
They're busy preparing for their meetings and their content, not for how they look.
Exactly. Focus on the content.
Yeah.
The other one too that I noticed for me recently, so I'm working at the minute on a TV show and on the production side, and we were preparing some promo material. And my boss, so the EP comes in one morning and I said, oh, this is ready.
The EP.
The executive producer.
She's got her lingo.
Getting the lingo in early. No, so he comes in and he said, oh, is that ready to have a look at? And I said, yeah, yep, it's great. And he said, he looked at me, he said, so are you happy with it, Lou? And I said, oh, there's a couple of bits, but I wanted to sort of see what you thought of it first, because I'd been working with this editor and I hadn't backed my own judgment and opinion because I haven't been doing this a long time. So I'd seen some things that had been included and chosen not to take them out because in the back of my head, I think I thought, here I go, again thinking in my head.
We're honestly going to have merchandise that says in my head.
In my head I was thinking. In the back of my head, is that better? In the back of my mind. In the back of my mind, I was wondering what my boss would ultimately think, so I didn't want to make that decision.
That's quite paralysing.
Well, it is, because perfection, I was so busy avoiding criticism, just wanting to get approval, that you stop making a decision and having a go.
Yeah.
So the lesson I learned in that, and as I was, you know, after that day, there were some things that Steve said, yep, that needs to come out, and there were some other things that he changed that I wouldn't have changed. So
subjective.
It's totally subjective, and that's the nature of a lot of what I do these days, whether it be performing or the TV production work I'm doing, or we all have different ways of cutting what we need to do.
Yeah.
Cutting through a project and
but even though in the work I've done previously, the way that I write a strategy document is different to someone else.
And that's okay, yeah. And you're always going to get tweaks and changes and things and separating yourself from the work.
Yeah.
So that distance and reminding yourself that things might
change,
but it's not you. It's not you.
Yeah,
it's the work.
Yeah,
and that's even harder, I find, with performing, when I perform, because you invest a lot more of yourself in that than some other things. But
it's a lot more vulnerable.
There are a couple of little ones for me, and Sal, it's been a big week for you too, having to face some fears.
Yeah, whose fault is that?
Oh, I threw a bit of a curveball this week because I decided to just throw you completely in the deep end. And without being malicious, I only want good things for you, Sal, and I've been reading this blog of yours that you've been writing, and I think it's fabulous. So I decided to do a little spruik on social media with some sort of hilarious results.
And do you know what? This is how much it makes me squirm, which, as we were saying before, it's ridiculous. I know it is online, right? Yeah. I put it there.
I know.
But I get really weird when I think people have actually read it.
It's not like people need a password to access it.
I know. So anyway, Lou put up this very kind summary on her Instagram. And as soon as I saw it, I thought, bloody hell, she's really taken this challenge to me.
Yeah.
And then I thought, oh, like, how lucky am I to have this friend that supports me in this way? And then I couldn't even read it. I had to just close it. I threw the phone away.
It appears most people didn't read it either, because this is what happened. So I'll just talk you through, and anyone could go, and I've actually since changed the post because it created so much confusion.
Furore.
And what was doubly funny about this is that I did this, like, we have just done, last podcast episode was on effective clear communication. So here I'm thinking, yes, I've just talked through effective clear communication. I've got this nailed.
Yeah.
So I went onto your blog and I found this really lovely sentence that you wrote in the about section, which basically was, for me, summed up the project. You had, after 12 years, quit your corporate job. And I think you say something about just following curiosity and you're just going to see what happened for a little while.
Yeah.
So I put that in talking quotes.
Mm, you did. Yeah, I saw that bit.
And then after the quote, I did like a little clap emoji.
Yeah.
And then I talked about my two friends, because it's you and also Kate, who were also mid-career change. And I have so much respect for people who basically stop and plot twist with their lives, because there is a lot of indecision and uncertainty for a little bit for both of you. So I think that's challenging and exciting, and I was sort of saying something about that. And then I said, Sal is actually documenting that experience. And so for anyone who's going through something similar or wants to read what you've been up to, go and check out her blog. I thought it was really clear in my head. Clearly not so, because I got an amazing response to this post.
But, I've never looked.
But it was, everyone was like, yeah, you go, girl. That's awesome, Lou. Congratulations. You finally quit. Everyone thought it was me.
That is so funny.
And I was like, guys, and it was,
you should have said, I've already quit. I did this 6 years ago.
I was like, do people think that I've, I mean, I do have a day job as well, but that was sort of my story a few years ago.
It was, yeah.
So I thought, it's particularly the ones close to me, and maybe they just didn't read it, and I've since changed.
I think there's a point with that, though, for when we're doing our own social media for the podcast. People have the attention span of a gnat. We all do. Like, you literally read the first sentence and that's it.
And granted, I did say.
So you tried to get a bit too clever, possibly. Well,
the quote did have I, so it probably, I should have.
Pretty funny.
Just different order of information.
It's still great, because it forced me into a bit more of the public eye. My sister's also taken things into her own hands.
Mm.
And I think sometimes that's what we need. We need that. It's very uncomfortable, particularly for Australians, to self-promote.
Well, people that love you, though, need to sometimes give you that permission to back it, put you on the precipice a bit with that. And because did you find that after that happened, that experience, and this has been what I've reflected on when I've faced the fear in the past, once you do it once and you get a bit of momentum and you start rolling down, it gets easier. I think it's when you're not doing any of that it feels so big, like the first post when you advertise your blog is always the hardest.
Yeah.
And you almost sit there looking at the post and go,
I can't, will I press the button?
There's this quote that I just wanted to read quickly, because I love this, and it's one that I've come back to over the years many, many times.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking about it again as we were talking about your blog, but it's from Ira Glass, who's the radio personality. He hosts and produces This American Life, the podcast, which I love, which is great. It's really popular. Definitely worth a listen. And he says, nobody tells this to people who are beginners. I wish someone had told me. All of us who do creative work, we get into it because we have good taste. But there is this gap. For the first couple of years you make stuff, it's just not that good. It's trying to be good. It has potential, but it's not. But your taste, the thing that got you into the game, is still killer. And your taste is why your work disappoints you. A lot of people never get past this phase. They quit. Most people I know who do interesting creative work went through years of this. We know our work doesn't have this special thing that we want it to have. We all go through this. And if you're starting out or you're still in this phase, you got to know it's normal. And the most important thing you can do is do a lot of work. Put yourself on a deadline so that every week you'll finish one story. It is only by going through a volume of work that you will close that gap, and your work will be as good as your ambitions. And I took longer to figure out how to do this than anyone I've ever met. It's going to take a while. It's normal to take a while. You've just got to fight your way through. So,
that's so true.
I love what that says about practice and persistence. And not to say that what you're writing is shit, Sal. It's not. But, you know, I think that with this podcast too. How do you get better?
Yeah, absolutely.
Unless you start and practice. And you know, I now work in production with people with equipment that is great and cameras. I'm super conscious that how we're doing this is not the best way to record a podcast. You know, I work with talent who are much better at doing this than what we might be. So it is a bit humbling. You've just got to look at it and say, well, if I want to be as good as that, then I've got to start somewhere and start practicing. Otherwise, I'll never get there.
Yeah.
But you're not going to get there by just theorizing it and...
No, it is funny, though, how I think we look at anyone that's at the top of their game, whether it be an actor, an athlete, an entrepreneur, and we kind of just... We don't see the gap and all the hard work they've done. We almost don't want to see it. Because I think it's another excuse to... I've thought... before, oh, well, that person's just exceptional, so I can't do that. Do you know what I mean? It becomes another procrastination point to say, well, that's them, and they've just naturally arrived at that. It's just bullshit.
And also it's harder now with how social media and things are curated. I was working with a friend of mine, Chels, who I do some singing with, and she was producing a video for a workshop that she was teaching, and... She's an amazing performer. She does music theatre and she's awesome. And she was comparing herself to these videos online, the masterclass videos. They're so all these expert actors, writers do these. They're beautifully shot. The content's great and they film a masterclass online.
Yeah.
And she was just doing a two-minute video and she was like, oh, I should get some lights. I should do this. I said, don't worry about it. You're awesome. Just do what you've got to do. Don't compare yourself to something that has got a huge marketing budget and it's a different, they're different things. But you're right. We stop ourselves from even making a start because there's someone who's further along the track than us.
Yeah, but we're not willing to see the hundreds and hundreds of hours they've put into it before.
Yeah, or where they started.
Or where they started, yeah, absolutely. Well, it's all very, very interesting.
So the message, I suppose, is begin. What was your take from this week?
Oh, I think for me it's also connecting it back to intention. So both with the writing and with the podcast, it's going, okay, the intention is to be really real, to share what we're going through with other people, to not only help ourselves take action, but hopefully just give comfort to other people that are in similar positions.
Sally, you've missed like one of the most important parts of the intention.
Which is?
Just to hang out with me.
And
just to hang out with me.
That's really true. No, that is true. But I think when any criticism does come or any kind of judgment does come, as it will, it's about connecting back to that for me and saying, well, it doesn't actually, you have to be able to dismiss the judgment and the negativity with that and go, well, that's, you know, someone's opinion. It doesn't stop me from giving myself permission to put out what I want to put out.
And your Liz Gilbert point from the first part of the show, the fear doesn't necessarily go away.
You
get better at living with the fear and maybe it's making friends with that fear so that you're, you know, you don't let it drive. It's not in the driver's seat. But
you kind of say hi to it.
Yeah.
I think it's also people assume on this point that once you've made a big decision to change your life, it's then easy. You make one big decision and then you're done and it's all happy days. You know that's not true.
Oh, that's the thing that...
I know that's not true.
It's the biggest... It's
daily.
It's the daily thing.
Like this week...
What happens after you make the change?
Yeah, and this week I was telling you I had some quite, you know, strong anxiety and you can go, oh, well, that's come from nowhere. What's that about? But actually putting yourself on a more uncertain path is going to present at times with that.
And a huge thing for you... you bravely did was share that with people.
I did write about it. I'm hoping no one will read it.
That blog again is www. What is the... Come on.
We'll
It'll be in
the
show
notes.
We'll
put it in the notes.
I feel
Please don't read it.
I've got a Skywriter lined up for next week. She's going to...
I hope it also says, will you marry me? I love it.
I would marry you.
Yeah.
I would.
Well... have changed the laws.
Clearly we're a match made in heaven.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I think we've come...
You don't resolve this.
No, there's
I think
no
it's
resolution.
But I do think, Sal, as one who... It's a problem for me, perfectionism, but I think I've got more comfortable with it just feeling a bit uncomfortable.
Yeah. Let's just sit in some of the discomfort. Sit in the muck.
Just swim around in it for a while.
Swim in the sludge. And I think let's just continue to call each other out on it. Like, Lou knows I'm very comfortable making the notes and pulling out quotes and structuring how I think we should discuss topics. But when it comes time to press record, I start to, let's get another tea, or what about a coffee? Like, I just try to avoid it, whereas I think you're a bit the opposite. You just want to dive into the talking.
Yeah, let's just chat.
And Lou will be like, I haven't really thought about the content.
So, which I'm sure doesn't come through at all.
No, but it's keeping a balance on that. So let's just keep practicing that.
Yeah, fabulous.
All right.
See you next month, Sal.
See you. Bye-bye.